This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And, well, we've got a lot to talk about, don't we? Soccer-wise.
First crew loss of the season.
That's right.
Big dog.
We have a Cleveland recap.
Cleveland, still undefeated.
No, undefeated at the actual home.
Mm-hmm.
Undefeated at the Death Star. Doesn't count if you go play your home game in another stadium.
Nope.
That doesn't happen.
Exhibition game. Not real. I'm not counting it.
Not real. Agreed. So, yeah, we will talk about that. There was some news at the station you may have heard about. It involves both of us, so I presume we should probably talk about that too. But we'll start it off here, Beamer. I hope you had a good Easter weekend. I heard you were in Dayton and that you Willie had a tough, I heard you on Morning Juice saying that Willie had a tough time leaving like the cousins.
Yeah.
And all that
I think if anybody has kids out there, even if you don't, if you've been around children, the hardest part is always leaving anywhere.
Yes.
First of all, the hardest part is getting to wherever you're going to go because that involves leaving somewhere else to get there. But yeah, once we're there, everything is good. And, you know, he's got cousins that are 3 years old and 5 years old. So
that's right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, he's two, you know, like they have a great time together. The 5 year old babysits the 3 year old and the 2 year old, and they're brothers and they're fighting and they're running around and they're kind of watching him do things. I'm like, all right, it's cool. Like they have a great time together, which is fantastic. Like growing up, I never had brothers and sisters. And I was really close with my two cousins, who one was 2 years older than me, and the other one, she was 2 years younger than me. So it's kind of like a same dynamic right there that I'm seeing, and they were having a great time. Easter Bunny came to Meredith's mom's house, which was cool, and dropped him off goldfish crackers inside of his Easter eggs, while the other two bigger boys got like Hot Wheels and all kinds of different stuff in there. So it was fun, but you know, I mean, it's Sunday afternoon. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, it's 4 o'clock. I looked at Meredith. I'm like, we're getting into crunch time.
We
right
got to get out of here.
Because we have an hour and 15 minute drive home. If he naps on the way home, it's still at the point of day where if he naps even for just a little bit, that bedtime is now going to be extended into the 8 o'clock hour, perhaps the 9 o'clock hour. And so I'm looking at her. I'm like, we have to make a move and be out of here before, I guess this is at 3. I'm like, hard deadline, 4 o'clock. Like, we have to be out of here by 4. It's like, all right, you know, we're getting everything together. And yeah, it was just a big to do when we were extracting him away from his cousins. it was a mess, but it was good. It was a great weekend, man. Beautiful weather that we had. It was always good to go back and see family and just have a nice weekend. Then Meredith's mom flipped Meredith's brother's birthday cake because he had an Easter birthday on its head.
Oh, no.
She dropped a gigantic F-bomb.
Oh, I bet she
just
did.
That was the first thing that came into her mind. She goes, oh, f-.
Yeah.
And it flipped
the F-dash-dash-dash word.
Flipped onto its, you know, onto its head right there. We cleaned it up, and the dogs got to lick some icing off the ground, ate cake, and it was delicious. But I'm like, that was kind of fitting for the whole weekend because we were trying to leave and have cake at the same time, and then it was just a mess.
Does your family do the Midwestern goodbyes? Because we do it all the time where it's like, all right, well, better be getting out. And then you start getting your stuff together. And then 37 minutes later, you're standing in the same doorway you've been standing in as everyone's like, well, don't forget. And then another conversation. And then,
totally.
Oh, and then add in kids to that where it's like just as adults, sometimes it's hard to say goodbye. And then the kids are like, we're standing around. I sense an opportunity. Boom. And then they're like off to another room or the shoes have come back off.
I feel like my family's really big on that. I'm just like, I'm going to grab my stuff and leave.
Good for you.
I am procuring my objects that I need to go back home. And maybe it's different because we do live far away. So anytime we're leaving, it's not just like, all right, we're leaving to go 5 minutes down the road.
They
like,
know
it's a journey.
They know you have to go a long way. And you have a young child.
We
that
have a
helps.
Dog who we're trying to get in the car too. So I'm like standing outside with the dog. Be like, hey, let's go. It's go time. I'm like, I've said goodbye to these people 6 times. Let's go.
Right.
It's leaving
right.
time.
Yeah. That's a good.
I'll see
call.
You in a couple of weeks. It won't be for forever. I'll see you in a little bit of time.
It's a good strategy. Well, the crew had a good strategy against Inter Miami, I felt like. They looked great in that game all the way up and until it wasn't even the final third. It was like the final 10th.
Yeah.
Right? Like they had the final passes were great. Everything to set up great looks for their guys.
Forgot how to score.
Yeah. And the Gazdog himself, man. Is it Gazdog or Gazdog?
Gazdog.
I've been saying Gazdog. I hear people saying Gazdog. Gazdog.
Gazdog.
Gazdog. Yeah, but I like the dog.
The Gazdog.
He's got that Gazdog in him, you know, like he's ready. But yeah, he got in front of goal a few times and couldn't finish his chances. Do I think that means it was a bust and $4 million wasted? No. I think it's just
I do.
I think it's a guy pressing terrible and trying to get that goal and trying to have that moment. I wondered, the Crew obviously play tough. They are a very talented team. I had early season talked about my doubts, and now I feel like, no, this is one of the best teams in the East. And Miami has a lot of fixture congestion coming up. They've got their Champions League run. They've got all this stuff in the next few weeks. So I get it that they have some, you know, player minutes that are going to be in doubt. But that game, they knew what it was. They knew it was two best teams in the league going head-to-head statistically. And the Crew, I felt like, came out with a better game plan and thoroughly outplayed Inter Miami, other than that part where you actually put the ball in the effing net. So that's the part that, yes, I don't mean to dismiss that, but I do think if you play this game in August with the Gazdog there and some of these, you know, I feel like...
Well, the good news is that you will be able to replay this game.
No, you will, right. There's other chances, but that's one where it felt like... I wonder if... I know the Crew play well. I wonder if there was a little bit of them saying, Lionel Messi is over there. I have to do my absolute, like were they maybe pressing a little bit for that goal?
I don't think so, because they've already done that before. Like, they beat him, you know?
You're right.
They did it. And, like, when they played in the MLS regular season where they got us at the end of the year, but we got them in Leagues Cup, like, it's not...
I think you have that right.
It's not new anymore. You know what I mean? If it's the first time that you're playing him and you're seeing him, it's this spectacle. Like, I would understand the human emotion's going to come into it. Maybe you have better butterflies. I don't think that it's with the winning DNA of this team at all.
I would
find a hard time believing that would be the case. I think sometimes you just you pick a bad day to have a bad day, and they did everything the correct way except, like you said, score a goal. And I think at the very end that they were pressing a little bit too much, but also at the same time, it was the exact same situation that we were fearful for at the beginning of the year that was going to be the problem. That they would have all these interlinking play and it would be good, but they don't have anybody to score a goal.
No, but I think, and you know this because you've watched a ton of soccer, I think that was a game where an average sports fan who doesn't watch a lot of soccer could say, hey, I don't know soccer that well, but the Crew dominated that game and then just didn't score.
I think seven times out of ten, they win that game.
They just finish those chances. Right. What I also feel like, though, is for those of us who've watched a lot of soccer, you have seen games where it's like, well, they possessed a lot, but I don't feel like they dominated.
Yeah.
Right? Like, or they had the ball and they had a lot of
possession stats.
Those empty bucket games where you're like always around the 18, but anything that gets into the 18 is just like a nothing ball that really you have to make a tremendous play on. Expected goals, XG is like a weird stat, but I mean, they were over like 3
Ralph
Rangnick
when he was in charge of Manchester United. They had like 68 crosses in one game and they didn't score a goal. I'm like, it means nothing.
Right, if they're not good chances. Yeah. But I think we can clearly say in this game,
they were good chances.
These were phenomenal chances that it's almost harder if you said, go into this game, get all those looks, don't finish any of them. Like, you would think that would be harder to do than for someone to just, oops, I just ran into the end of that with the back of my foot and it just rolled in the net. Like, you'd think a deflection would have, something
would have happened.
So the fact that didn't happen isn't the same to me as an empty bucket possession game where it's like, well, they led possession, but they really weren't dominating. They just were allowed to have the ball.
Yeah.
They were getting pressed by Miami. They were dealing with that pressure. They were finding ways through it. And then they were making tremendous passes in the final third to set up guys, which that was the thing I was worried about with Cucho, is how are you going to deal with it when you don't have him taking away those defenders? Mm-hmm. They're dealing with it.
They're dealing with it excellently.
And they had guys in good spots where it's like it bounced just a smidge too high, and instead of getting it with the top of your boot, you got it with your shin guard, and it wasn't as much power on it. Or you skied it over the, you know, goal. I mean,
And who knows? I mean, if they go ahead in that game, it may look entirely different. If they get one, maybe they get three.
Yeah.
You know, like, they all of a sudden you break down that barrier and then it's a waterfall of goals. It just, It didn't happen.
Yeah. And I think, it mounted from a mental standpoint. It just mounts and suddenly you're like, okay.
Like it's insane. The 90th minute and now we need a goal.
So I don't want to like dismiss that or anything.
I think it was a great opening quadrant of the season for us.
Yeah. They have really started well. And now the next phase for the Crew is to find that finishing. And you know what? I hope they have a few games where it's like, boy, they played terrible, but somehow they got three goals out of it. Like that's the way it evens out in MLS. If you are a consistently good team, you will get those chances and you'll find ways to win games that you probably shouldn't. So this was when they probably should have won. They didn't. It all matters. It all counts. If we're looking at the playoff picture, 6 months from now and saying, they could have been the one seed if not for that game, then we'll all be very mad.
But, did you talk to anybody who went up there?
I didn't get a chance to. Did you?
I talked to neighbor Eric. Was it on Sunday evening? Maybe like Easter? I think it was Easter Sunday. Like we were getting back and we were outside playing and hanging around. And I asked him, I was like, how was your weekend? He's like, I went up to Cleveland. I'm like, oh yeah, duh. Like I knew you were going to go out there. I'm like, how was it? He was like, I wasn't a big fan of them doing that. And I'm still not a big fan of them doing that. He was like, it didn't have a covered roof. I'm like, you sound spoiled now, Eric. Remember where you spent the last 20 years at. All right. You didn't have a roof at the old place either. He's like, I know. I'm just so spoiled by the new stadium. He's like, it was very large. It was a crappy weather day. I'm like, it's Cleveland, Ohio, man. In the month of April, you're going to get that.
Uh-huh.
He was like, but it was the unique part about it. He's like, we went and we tailgated over at the Muni lot and we did all the things that, was basically pomp and circumstance for the Browns and the Crew to have this synergy together, other than selling more tickets than they would have here.
Well, right.
Whatever. And he was like, it was really cool. So one of my friend's nephews took him, knew nothing about soccer, knew nothing, just knew Messi. Like that was it. Like knew that this guy was a big deal. He's like, so we get back after the game. We're going to hang out with his parents. So he went with his uncle, who was with Eric. They went to the game together. Got to meet Frankie. This kid did.
There we go.
Loved. He's like, Frankie was unbelievable to him. I'm like, of course he is, because he's Frankie Hayduk. Like, he's an American hero.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to be amazing. He was like, but the really cool part was that he went back to his parents and was raving about this experience and about soccer and how cool it was and how he wants to, like, now watch. I'm like, okay, so they wanted it to grow the fan base. You wanted it to grow the game. And at least from that small sample size, now I'm sure there were some miscues along the way, including Jerry Jeudy wearing a Miami jersey, being like the dog pound leader and saying Miami's going to win the game, whatever.
That's not good.
He's a South Florida guy. That's a bad pick to have a guy. Right?
It's like if you have Zach Werenski come to your Ohio State Michigan game.
Correct.
And it's like, well, you kind of know where he's going to lean on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that there were some mishaps along the way too, but like hearing that from his detail and perspective of things, I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like that's a kid who probably never thought about a soccer game in his entire life. And now is getting ready to go back to school, hang out with his friends, maybe gives it a try, maybe be like me and download a video game and then get really into it. And that opens up a whole new world to him. I'm like, that inherently is cool.
It is. And I do hope that there will be kids who find it because of that. I hope that there were, kids who were maybe their parents took them from Columbus and then they go, wow, this is my first Crew game. Don't they play in our town? Yes, they do. Oh, well, why don't we go to those games? Well, we can.
We should.
Right. I hope that starts the process for some of them. Obviously, me as a jaded old soccer fan says, we built this stadium. You have a Champions League game in Peterborough, England. Guess where they play? They don't move it. They play it in Peterborough. Yeah. That's where the draw is. That's where you go. And if that only sells 18,000 seats, oh, well. Like, that's... But here's this. Don't forget this with ownership with the Crew. They made $16 million on Cucho. If you want to actually say it, I mean, $10 million was what they paid to buy him. Then they got $16 million for him. So the profit's $6
million. Yeah, plus all the jerseys. And
plus whatever else they made off of ticket sales and jerseys and all the success they had while he was here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say conservatively they have $6 million from that. From this event, they probably made another $6 million. This part of the reason they did this was to make millions of dollars selling these extra tickets, more than they could have if they did it at the stadium here. So I hope they made that money. You spent $4 million on Gazdag. That means you got at least $8 million in the tank. That I'm saying is beyond and above all your operational normal stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. This is found money. That needs to be going into getting some... You have a great team.
Players.
this, we want another 3 to 4 year run where we have players that we say could win MLS Cup, Golden Boot, you know, Defender of the Year, and all, which I know they have. Steven Moreira, right, is one of those guys. Yeah. Like, but
Patrick Schulte is going to be your national team keeper.
Right. Like, you have some talent. Now it's about keeping the guys here, you know, that you need to, and acquiring when you need to as guys are starting to age out or players aren't as effective. And if you have to spread that $8 million over like 6 different players, and a few of those are players that are here, a few of them are not, that's fine. But I need to see better. We hopefully will with Gazdag. That's a start. Need to see better finishing, right? It's just, it's going to have to happen. And that's the question mark, is can they do that consistently? But the money's there. The money's there, and you already have a great team. So Crew fans, from that standpoint, we should feel happy. If you're part of the Nordeca and feel like, as everything I heard, front office screwed that up and it was miscommunicated and you didn't have the Nordeca kind of full experience going on up there, that's not cool. There's no good about that.
Right.
So
again, this is my one personal account while not being there, just talking to Eric. So yeah. Thanks, Eric.
Oh, I thought you were saying.
No, I was just saying thanks, Eric, for the positivity account. No, that was it.
I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, thanks.
I thought you were going to say one other thing from that. Okay,
no.
My bad. I misunderstood.
Also interesting to note, they did have a busy week as well. So you get San Jose this week. DeJuan Jones traded to San Jose on the weekend.
That was a big deal, right?
It was. We also opened up a second international roster spot with him as well.
Yes, you do. So they got an international roster spot. They open up a second one. Moves are happening. Yeah. They're positioning themselves. And you know what? He was a good player in New England. Came here, I don't think
could have find his footing.
No, and you know what? I was dead wrong. I thought when he came in, I was like, look, Max Arfston is nice, but I think DeJuan Jones is going to come in and just, you know, kind of take over.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. Credit to Max Arfston.
Absolutely.
Being a talented player. He deserves everything he's getting, and he is, you know, a tough out there.
Is Bruce Arena coaching San Jose? Am I correct in saying
that? Is that right? You know what? I forget where Bruce is now.
I'm pretty sure he's with San Jose.
All right. Well, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but San Jose has been our traditional rival for many, many years.
I've heard rumor of that.
This dates back to when MLS had a rivalry weekend and they were putting, you know, all these different teams were playing each other. It was so long ago. I don't remember if LAFC, I don't even know, was there yet. Right. But some of these rivalries they were trying to gin up. They were putting them together and they're like, oh, this team and that team are going head to head, and this team and that team are going head to head. The rivalry weekend. And you look down, it's like, oh, who are the Crew playing on rivalry weekend? It was San Jose. And it's like, oh, yes.
Bitter rivals. It is Bruce
San Jose.
Arena.
There he is.
Well, me and my MLS knowledge.
I'll tell you, San Jose has cycled through so many coaches over the last few years. Like, we'll find out if maybe Bruce is the one that sticks, but if he can't make it happen
they
there.
They're not very good this year.
They've not been very good for a long time. They've tried so many different ways to make that thing work, and they just can't
seem to get it
right.
They're better than the Galaxy, though. Woof.
Oh, yeah. Galaxy
3-6.
They have started off.
Cup hangover.
Bad. Big time cup hangover.
Marco Royce told you what the deal was after they won. He's like, why are you selling our best players and not being able to pay anybody?
That might be a problem. So the fact that the Crew aren't, again, I know they got rid of Cucho, but there's still plenty of talent on this roster. So consider me someone who is buying in and believing that. You know, as long as Wilfried Nancy is here and as long as some of these core pieces are here, you still have a very good chance of winning it all this year. There's no easy way to transition to this, but I guess we have to talk about it for the final
Arsenal's
few minutes of
the
show.
The final four of the Champions League. By the way, hell of a performance out
them?
Of them.
How about two? How about Nottingham Forest being like looking at a Champions League spot next year?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, Villa last year.
Yeah.
By the way, really the heartbreaker.
Tough, man. They were so close, but couldn't finish the deal.
And then you have Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest, like, staring, like, in a prime position to get it this year, which is what a season they've had.
Good for our guys.
Forest, one of our many teams that we root for. Absolutely right.
I'm not really a Forest guy, but I know we have a great supporters group here of Nottingham Forest, and I like interacting with those guys on social media. And they go over to Combustion in Clintonville where they watch. So that's really close to my house. So anytime that I'm in there, I see the big Nottingham Forest flag, and I always see them tweeting out pictures of them and watching the games there. I'm like, that's a dedicated group of folks. I respect them, and I'm thrilled for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. They deserve everything they're getting, so we're happy about that. some changes are coming to the radio station. You may have heard about the announcements. Morning Juice is departed. Well, Morning Juice with Bobby is sticking around on digital. Jeff Thedoff will be the host of that. Beamer is moving to the Buckeye Show. And
which is in the evening.
Yeah. And
what are you doing?
I am taking over in the mornings, I guess. Me and Tyvus are doing the morning show.
Yeah.
So Beam and I have known about this for at least, what, a month or more? I think that both of us have known and been talking about it behind the scenes. It's not an easy thing. I don't mean to speak for you, Brandon, like in any way, shape, or form.
Don't ever call me that. I don't know if you've ever said that before.
Well, I felt
just like laying bad news on me, calling me by my proper name.
Brandon and Jonathan are here now. Yeah. There's no Bone and Beam. It's Brandon and Jonathan. We're talking like human beings for a second, but I don't.
T-Bone's taking my job, basically. Jonathan.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it's not Jonathan taking my job. It is T-Bone taking my job.
Jonathan is over here just going, this is all a lot. But know this, all the stuff behind the scenes that happened here, management approached me about an opportunity to do mornings. I asked them if there was any way that that change wouldn't be happening. They said no. I asked them, would I be able to work with Brandon? They said no. And I said, okay, well, then who am I working with if I chose to do this? And they told me it would be Tyvus. And I said, well, see you, Brandon. I love Tyvus is a great dude and I have wanted to work with him for a long time. It was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. That all said, one of the very few downsides to this for me is that my good buddy Brandon is not going to be a part of it. So, you know, there's no easy way to say this, but it's something that is it's been bittersweet for me. Obviously I know Beamer, it's probably
those wake ups are going to suck so bad for you. I'm telling you, man, it took me a year to get used to that. Now you will be fine. Nicer for you. You'll be able to be home in the evenings with your family. That's going to be awesome. Like I'm telling you, I mean, it takes a while. It takes a while to ready yourself and arm yourself for the 4 a.m. or 3:30 alarm. Like, I don't know how you're going to
Show. I'm planning on 3 and out by 4 and here by like 4:30, 4:45 and doing most of it the day before is the hope.
Of course.
But yeah, listen, one of the few silver linings for you is the Buckeye Show is obviously a good show and Timmy Hall has done a good job there.
Big shoes to fill.
It is. But you get to sleep in.
I'm not sure about that. I mean,
it's all up to what Willie says.
Yeah.
When Willie wakes up, what time is he getting up these days?
It depends. It depends on anywhere from 6:30 to 7:45.
Yeah.
And usually it's 6:30 on the weekends when we're both able to sleep in.
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't have anything this is how radio sometimes works. We all work here. We are friends. Behind the scenes, it's a little bit like if you were watching theater, acting, movies, sports. You see all these people that you see as public figures, but we are privately like friends. We have families. We have our lives that we care about. Sometimes they move the public pieces around, and then the private lives that are attached to them are smushed together or ripped apart, and it's not ideal all the time. The way that happens, or there's parts of you that, like anything in life, there are some positives to these things. There are some parts of it that you say, man, I wish it hadn't gone that way.
Yeah, so, totally.
So just know that with the two of us, I think I'm not speaking out of turn, Beam, that we don't have any animosity towards each other.
Go to hell.
No, you first. Watch out, buddy. I'm going to dominate and more. No, it's our jobs. We are told what to do by management.
These are our jobs.
Yeah. And I don't want that to sound like, dude, yesterday, literally, this is a real thing. I tweeted out something because we announced that like I'm working with Tyvus and my radio promotional instincts are like, I should say on Twitter, hey, this thing you've been hearing about, here's the news. Here's when it starts. Because I am excited to work with Tyvus and Bodie, who's going to Bodie's produced this show. I'm going to work with Bodie.
You're ready for Notre Dame updates, pal.
Oh, I'm ready. Right. The other side of that is I also, like, as soon as I said that, I had people like, oh, yeah, way to crap on Morning Juice, asshole. And I'm like, I'm not. My job is to talk about what I'm doing.
Yes, it is.
But I also, trust
yes,
me.
Yes, it is.
And you know, so I talked with Bobby Carpenter today. He stopped me in the parking lot. Yeah. We had a nice little conversation.
He flagged you down.
He did. And said, you know, no hard feelings about this. You know, obviously, I don't expect that.
It's a change for everybody, man. It's an include. Yeah. It's not only a change for us as radio hosts and what we do for our career, but it is also a massive change for the reason why we get into this job and the reason why we still have our jobs, and that and the listeners. Like, it is a massive change. Like, you guys breaking up, you guys did what, 12 years together, you and
Mike? Yeah, that was, I mean, that's another thing.
It's a mega change.
I didn't even want to get into that here just because it's like we have, but yeah, I mean, this was offered to me and there's downsides to it because it's like I'm leaving. I've worked with Mike and Ted for 12 years, the better part of that.
I think when I first was hired, it was Common Man and Company.
Yep.
And that, but you were on the show.
Yeah, I was hosting.
And then it was a year after that, like it was Common Man and T-Bone, and now it's just, you guys are just Man and Bone. But
yeah,
I mean, for as long as I have been here, you guys have been working together. I've had all kinds of different jobs here, and have had crazy hours, and have been kind of yo-yoed back and forth.
Right.
For my time. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And, well, it's a massive change for listeners.
It is. It's a massive change for the listeners. That's the main thing. We understand that. It is, our own personal lives aside, like, it's a massive change for the audience. So yeah. I hope that I speak for everyone when I say that, like, I hope you will give all of these new things a chance. I hope you will check out the Buckeye Show. And
I'm not getting up that early to listen to you. if we're being 1,000% honest.
That's why there's a podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that. A-hole, you could listen to that.
Nah.
No, I'm just, it's jokes. No, I will tell you, when I left a radio gig where I worked at a radio station and was, went into a meeting one day, and the end of that meeting day, it was like, all right, you're leaving. And I was like, yes, I am. Mutual agreement that we don't want to do this anymore. I had an inkling, but I didn't know it was going to be my last day. And I walked out of that place. And then for like a year, I couldn't even flip the station on just because it was like,
I know,
it's bad memories. And I totally get it. You should be able to move on and do what you want to do in evenings now. And then hopefully at some point there's new opportunities, but I don't want to belabor this point. The whole point is to say, with Bone and Beam United, we will attempt to do some shows when we can.
We don't know. Our schedules will be so polar opposite now. And it is, I mean, it's different. You came in your show is at 3 o'clock p.m. Our show is at 6 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
You are moving to the 6 a.m. show. I am moving to the 6 p.m. show.
Our start times are 12 hours apart.
You are getting up now at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I'm sure the last thing that you will want to do, if I say, hey, can you stay till noon?
No.
Until I come in, like, that's not going to be in your selection set. And then with me, I'm not going to want to come in.
Yeah, because you've got, and among other things, you are going to be home with William throughout the day.
I provide child care.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a thing, too. So what we're saying is, and this is kind of a long-winded way to get to it, there isn't, like, personal animosity between you or I. There is a physical schedule that is going to be difficult for you and I to continue doing the show.
Correct.
So will we be able to do it occasionally? Yeah. But I understand in podcasting, you're looking for, like, every week you're talking about stuff. You can obviously see the last few months, our schedules haven't aligned. We've had some stuff going on. It hasn't worked out for us to both get here. So it may just be that we're at a time in our life where right now we keep the podcast subscription. We will pop in with episodes here and there. It may be that in a few years, things change again. Who knows, in this crazy business. And we're like, hey, we both have time to do the podcast. And we're not making one or the other get here super early or stay super late. We might be able to restart it again. You never know.
I don't think that would be bad faith,
but we want to be honest with you as listeners to, like, hey, you may go 6 months before you see an episode.
It may be longer than that.
Yeah, we don't know.
I have no clue. I mean, you're going to be trying to get your foot in the mornings, and I'm going to be trying to readjust myself to the evening. So I mean, it'll be different personally, professionally, for sure. We do have plans now. T-Bone's been stuck in traffic the last, like, two weeks when he's been trying to come in.
I swear to God, the last few weeks have been out of nowhere. It's been when I try to come in, it's like, oh, there's a massive wreck right in front of me, and I'm stuck in one lane of traffic on three lanes of highway.
So we do have plans to do a show next week, next Wednesday.
Yeah.
We have a plan. We have plans in the hopper to do a show the Wednesday after that. So two more after this, regularly scheduled.
Yeah.
We will continue to do regular soccer talk like what we would do in our normal podcast. And then after that, we are thrust into the great unknown.
Yeah, then it's our schedules are upheaved and we'll see. But so over the last couple episodes, I hope that we can, you know, have some fun with it, talk about it. I'm sorry that this is happening in this way. Like, again, I'm excited for my opportunity. I hope that Beam can have an opportunity in evenings as well. But I also know that, like, there's trade-offs.
Yeah, of course.
So
it's life, man.
It is. And it's also a weird thing to work in radio. And, like, if we all worked at a bank, no one would care. It'd be like, hey, you're over here now and you're over there now. And it'd be like, all right,
okay,
whatever.
Sure.
We just wouldn't. We, you know, it's a lot different when you do public-facing jobs like this. So, I will say, Beam, you've been nothing but professional in everything about this. And
I'm telling Bob earlier to run you over with his car.
Well, he missed.
He didn't listen to me.
He did back up, though, and I thought maybe this is
his shot. Here he comes. He didn't listen to me, damn
Tito
it.
Was standing next to me, and I thought maybe he was thinking, if I run Tito over, then I don't have to host with him, and maybe they'll figure something else out.
Two birds
out,
in so. One stone.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was it. No, so yeah, I hope you can understand it's an awkward, interesting, weird time here.
Yeah.
For, you know, lots of reasons. But
I just want to let everybody know that we love you all.
We do.
We're very thankful for everybody to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, we started this podcast, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
And I've had so much fun doing this.
Yeah, just, same here, man.
It's been fantastic.
I have learned a lot from talking with you and learned a lot about soccer. I mean, I follow soccer, but I don't follow it in the way you do. And I've learned a lot from you over these years. So hopefully we can continue this on in some way here and there. But, yeah, the likelihood is you're probably listening to the last couple of consistent episodes of mm-hmm. this show. And then after that, it'll be very spotty until further notice.
Right.
So I guess we'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for, you know, being with us all these years. And I hope you enjoyed the next few episodes. And until then, we'll talk to you next week. It's Bone and Beam United.